This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Dave Mack. In Utah, the parents of an 18-month-old found dead in March have now been charged with the death of their daughter, Ruby. In the crib where Ruby is found, investigators find several sippy cups and waffles. The infant's mother, Carrie, says the family are not table people, and Ruby didn't like people feeding her, so she ate her food in her crib. Mitchell and Carrie Murray have since been arrested on suspicion of murder and child abuse. During interviews, Mitchell and Carrie say they feed their baby three times a day and also provide her with snacks in between meals. They also mention Ruby has only eaten baby food once or twice. A review of baby monitor footage of the 4 days leading up to Ruby's death, investigators create a timeline that shows Ruby is only taken out of her crib for a total of 6 hours and with another person for less than an hour of those 4 days. When questioned about the baby's death, Carrie says it was her time. Investigators determine Ruby died of dehydration and malnutrition. It's not immediately clear if the parents have been formally charged. If you suspect child abuse, call the Child Help National Abuse Hotline at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or 1-800-422-4453 or go to www.childhelp.org. All calls are toll-free and confidential.
I'm Jennifer Gould, a 22-year-old woman just days from giving birth to her baby boy, was deliberately lured, stabbed dozens of times, and held down in the desolate Michigan woods while her own mother and stepfather allegedly carved her unborn infant from her womb, prosecutors revealed in a stunning court hearing. The chilling plot was meticulously planned, investigators say, turning a family home into the staging ground for a calculated, brutal execution. Here's Wexford County Prosecutor Joanna Carey in court.
This is, frankly, evil personified.
Rebecca Park, 22, disappeared on November 3rd after leaving her home in Cadillac. Her frantic friends and family, who had seen her glowing social media posts about the impending arrival of her son, endured 3 agonizing weeks before a search party made the gruesome discovery on November 25th in a secluded area of the Manistee National Forest near her mother's remote property. The remains of the young woman, who was 38 weeks pregnant, were found savagely mutilated. Her death was caused by multiple stab wounds, officials say, but the most sickening detail was the deliberate evisceration. The baby boy had been violently cut from her uterus and was gone. The infant's body has yet to be found, triggering a massive desperate search operation by the Wexford County Sheriff's Office. Authorities quickly focused on Rebecca's mom, Courtney Bartholomew, 40, and her husband, Bradley Bartholomew, 47. The couple were arrested Monday following a tip that led detectives to unearth digital evidence of their horrific premeditation. During their arraignment, Prosecutor Carey laid bare the depraved allegations. Listen.
These two individuals created a plan, conducted research. Ms. Bartholomew brought Rebecca to their home. They forced her into another vehicle and took her into the woods. So they stabbed her, forced her to lie on the ground while they cut her baby out, and ultimately caused her death and the death of the baby.
The couple allegedly used online searches to study, quote, fetal extraction methods, end quote, and remote disposal sites to orchestrate the plot, though a motive possibly related to a recent $2,000 inheritance or family resentment over the pregnancy remains officially undisclosed. At the arraignment, Stacy Davis, Bradley Bartholomew's estranged sister, told the media her brother and Courtney had previously tried to have a baby of their own, but they struggled to conceive. The Bartholomews face a litany of felony counts, including first-degree premeditated murder, torture, unlawful imprisonment, assault with intent to cause miscarriage or stillbirth, and conspiracy to commit murder. Bond was summarily denied for both. The widening scandal also ensnared Rebecca's younger sister, Kimberly Park, 21, and her fiancé, Richard Fowler, 43, who's a registered sex offender. The pair were detained on charges of tampering with evidence, drug possession, and obstruction of justice. Prosecutors say the pair were complicit in the plot. They helped scrub the crime scene and hid Rebecca's phone. Their bail set at $1 million cash surety for Fowler and $750,000 cash surety for Park. All four suspects are housed at the Wexford County Jail. The Bartholomews are due back in court on December 10th. Investigators continue to comb the frozen woods for the remains of Rebecca's missing boy. Authorities are urgently asking anyone with information about the case to contact the Wexford County Sheriff's Department tip line at 231-779-9921.
I'm Drew Nelson. A woman is pulled from a burning row house in Massachusetts by a Good Samaritan utility worker with a bucket truck moments before flames would overtake the very spot she evacuated to. The rescue happened Monday afternoon at 47 Marion Street in Somerville. A three-alarm fire tore through a six-unit building near Lincoln Park and Wyatt Street. Fire officials said an electrical worker was already working nearby when the fire broke out. Here is Fire Chief Charles Breen.
Just prior to our arrival, an Eversource electric worker with a bucket truck had rescued an occupant out of the second floor. She had climbed out a window onto the front porch under heavy smoke and fire conditions.
The worker drove his bucket truck to the front of the building and raised it to the awning where the woman was trapped as firefighters were still on the way.
And the Eversource worker got her into the bucket and got her to safety. So I'd like to really give credit to that worker. He did a hell of a job, definitely saved the woman's life. She was in severe danger at the time.
No other injuries were reported.
The occupant that was rescued by the Eversource worker, she has been transported to the hospital with smoke inhalation.
Firefighters arrived just before 1 p.m., crews knocking the flames down just before 2:30. The Cambridge Fire Department assisted with the response, and after the rescue, a different Eversource worker returned to cut the power to the building for safety. Neighbor Al Yannick witnessed the rescue, speaking to WCVB.
I couldn't figure out why an Eversource truck was there and no fire trucks were here yet. I called 911, and they said they're on their way already.
The rescued woman was distraught and frantic that her dog was still inside. Witnesses later confirmed the woman's dog did not survive. Fire crews were able to contain the fire to one unit, but all six units suffered smoke and water damage and were left uninhabitable. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. That utility worker spoke to WCVB on condition of anonymity. He said he was working up the street when the smoke started billowing. He drove from his work site, spotting the woman climbing out the window to an awning just above the front entrance, extending his cherry picker just in time.
I'm Nicole Parton. A judge in Kentucky has rejected a request to dismiss the indictment against former Letcher County Sheriff Sean Steins, who is facing charges for the fatal shooting of District Judge Kevin Mullins in September 2024. Court documents indicate that the judge determined prosecutors acted appropriately during the grand jury proceedings that resulted in Steins' indictment in November. In a different ruling, the judge approved Steins' request for a bond hearing but turned down his motion to include parts of the confidential psychological evaluation as evidence, according to court records. Steins' defense team has previously indicated that they will argue extreme emotional disturbance and insanity during the trial. He is currently detained on murder charges, which could lead to the death penalty. The incident allegedly occurred on September 19, 2024, when Steins shot and killed Judge Mullins in his chambers. The event was recorded on video, which was presented during Steins' preliminary hearing and shown to the grand jury. The defense contends that the prosecution provided false and misleading information to the grand jury, particularly concerning Steins' mental health and his involvement in a federal civil lawsuit against former Deputy Ben Fields. According to the defense, the defendant asserts that during the grand jury session on November 21, the prosecutor elicited misleading testimony that swayed the jury towards the murder indictment, as stated in the court order. The defense emphasized that medical records revealed Steins had been diagnosed with an acute stress reaction just a day prior to the shooting, and jail records noted instances of, quote, active psychosis during suicide risk assessments following his arrest. Furthermore, the defense claimed that Detective Stamper incorrectly testified that Judge Mullins was not connected to the civil lawsuit against Ben Fields, which pertains to allegations of inappropriate relationships with court participants in Mullins' chamber. The judge concluded that the prosecution met its burden of providing sufficient evidence for probable cause, noting that any alleged misrepresentations or omissions would not have altered the grand jury's decision for an indictment. As it stands now, the sheriff will go to trial for the murder of the Kentucky judge. More crime and justice news after this.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.